Thank you, councillors. Just about ready to go. Okay, thank you. Thank you, councillors. It's now 6:30 and I declare the meeting open and advise the public that in accordance with council's code of meeting practice, council meetings are recorded and webcast via council's website. The entire chamber is included in the audio recordings and visitors in the gallery may have their voice captured and webcast. By attending a council meeting, you consent to your speech or other personal information being captured, recorded and webcast. For this reason, I advise that any opinions expressed or statements made by individual persons during the course of this meeting are the opinions or statements of those individual persons and not opinions or statements of council. All persons shall refrain from making any defamatory remarks. Council accepts no liability for any defamatory remarks made during the course of the council meeting. Furthermore, all persons should refrain from making public comments about another individual without seeking the consent of that individual beforehand. We all stand for the council prayer. Councillor Burke.
Gracious God, we pray for the council, city of Chestnut, its members and officers, direct their work and influence their decisions to the advancement of your glory and the safety and welfare of this city, so that peace and happiness, truth and justice, and sound development may be established among us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Council acknowledges the Wanneroo people as the traditional custodians of this land we are meeting on today, the elders past, present and future. We also acknowledge the Awabakal people to the east and the Dargunjung people to the south, and other Aboriginal peoples who now live within the Cessnock local government area. I have one apology for tonight, which is Councillor Fagg. I also have two requests for leave of absence for Councillor Fitzgibbon for the November meeting and Councillor Gray in the December meeting. Can they someone move that way? Thanks. Move Councillor Dagg, second Councillor Sander. I'll put that, all those in favour. That's unanimous. Confirmation of minutes of the previous meeting. Move Councillor Doherty, second Councillor Saville. No debate. I'll put that. All those in favour? That's unanimous. Disclosures of interest. Nope. Petitions. I'm not aware of any petition. All public speakers. Consideration and adoption of all reports by Englobo or individually with nominated exceptions. Councillor Doherty.
Thanks, Mayor Benson. I'd like to, after having read the reports for tonight, I'd like to these items considered for Englobo. What's going on? Notice N17/2020, notice of intention to deal with matters in a confidential session.
Yep.
In WI182/2020, the South Cessnock Floodplain Scheme. No. Sorry.
GMU 23.
I've printed it out. I've got GMU 23.
Yep.
New South Wales Bushfire Community and Resilience Fund. CC 93, Council of Professional Development. CC 96, Public Art Gallery. CC 97, Annual Unreasonable Customer Conduct Report. W178, Multipurpose Half Courts and Outdoor Exercise Equipment. WI81, Minutes of the Floodplain Management Committee. CO13, Local Government Exclusion from National Cabinet. CO15, BN10/2020, Funding for Support of Youth Programs. And CO16, MM10/2020, Medicare eligibility for magnetic resonance.
Okay, so you're moving that way, Councillor Doherty. We have a seconder, Councillor Dagg. I'll put that. All those in favour? That's unanimous. Move to mayoral minute 12. I move the mayoral minute that council nominated a voting delegate to the local government New South Wales virtual annual conference 2020 to replace Councillor Daggers, who was unable to attend. So Councillor Burke is nominating himself. Okay, so the motion would be that Councillor Burke, the mayoral minute rather, would be that Councillor Burke is the extra voting delegate to the Local Government New South Wales virtual conference. This has come about because Councillor Dagg, through work commitments, is unable to attend, and Council made that resolution at the September meeting. So I'll put that mayoral minute. All those in favour? It's unanimous. Thank you. Motions of urgency. Are you right there, Councillor? There's no motions of urgency. PE 36 2020, amended planning proposal for the Cessnock Commercial Precinct. You got a mover? Move Councillor Gray, second Councillor Fitzgibbon. No one speaking. I'll put that. Councillor Stapleford is.
Mayor Finson, with this, we've got the DCP. We're going to move things from the LEP and leave in the DCP as controlled. What legal status does the DCP have?
The Acting Director of Planning.
Thank you. Through you, Mr. Mayor, the DCP is more of a guiding document. It doesn't have a statutory or legal basis, but it is the controls of the DCP are considered when assessing development applications. So they're based on their merit considerations, which are taken into consideration when assessing applications.
But if these things are still in the LEP, then they have to be followed. But in the DCP, it's a maybe.
The Acting Director.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. No, the general principle is they both need to be followed because they're both adopted council policies. One is a statutory control, one is a merit-based control.
Councillor Saville.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Just to comment on a couple of things in the amended proposal. The changes to the Snape Street to James Street road is something that I think we should consider looking at in other ways in the future. I know this just takes it out because of the Transport for New South Wales won't be the agency that does the land acquisition, so we should look at future things. In my opinion, we should look at other things because it's a key part of our future plans for our ring roads around the CBD, as is the works that would need to go around Keene Street and making that work. So that would be another one. I think we should look at other options. I understand that it can't be part of this proposal. And the other thing that I really think we need to look at and make sure that we find solutions for is around the CBD Town Square. I think was a really good thing we were looking at that would allow us to hold markets and other sort of events in the CBD, which would be really good for the community. And I know we've taken out the acquisition of those parts at this stage, but I think in future works we need to make sure that we progress those the three of those things that we are taking out and make sure that they continue in some way, because I think they will all be, if they're successful, for the benefit of the betterment of the city. Thank you.
Okay. No further debate. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Again, it's unanimous. Thank you. PE 37, 2020, Exhibition of Draft Cessnock Urban Growth Management Plan and Housing Strategy. Move Councillor Dagg, second Councillor Fitzgibbon. Councillor Doherty.
Thanks, Mayor Pinsent. I just want to refer to this particular document and the people who were consulted during the consultation phase. I've got some concerns. I'd like to ask a question of the Director for Planning. LWP, Huntley Construction, some 7,000 homes, were those people consulted in relation to this particular item on tonight's agenda?
The Acting Director.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. A number of bodies and institutions were consulted in drafting the plan. I don't believe LWP were one of those, but a major building company was. That's not to say that they won't be consulted, because the report is seeking to put this on exhibition, which gives us an opportunity to engage with the broader community.
Yeah, I've got some concerns that the way the report's been put is very much skewed towards social housing and not towards main residential areas. And the other thing is that when I read this report, and I've seen a neighbouring council do exactly the same, there's a comment made in here that one way we could save money is to waive development fees. A neighbouring council has done that, and there's major multi-storey dwellings being built within that particular suburb with no green space whatsoever, and it would be up to then the council to provide green space and not the developer. So in consultation with this, I'd be deeply concerned for us to allow development fees to be waived.
Thank you. Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Through you, Mayor Pinsent. Thank you, Councillor Doherty, for raising that. I have recently spoken to the Director about the same thing, and I think that it does open up a can of worms for developments that we aren't in favour of. So I was assured that after the draft exhibition period, we'd have an opportunity to address that.
Thank you. No further debate. I'm going to put that. All those in favour? That's unanimous. CC 94-2020, carryover and revoting of expenditure from 2019-20 to 2021. So we're moving. Move Councillor Gray, second Councillor Burke. Councillor Olsen.
Yeah, Mayor Pinson, a couple of questions, if I may. We're carrying over $9 million worth of work, and we're supposed to be having the biggest year ever on how much work we do around the community. How's Council going to meet all these commitments in the next 12 months? Yes.
Acting Director.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The steps that we're taking to plan delivery of the Capital Works Program include preparation of a report based on timelines and based on milestones for the numerous grant-funded projects. We're also feeding cash flow and the requirements for expenditure from grant bodies into that program. And at present, we're reviewing that based on new grants that have recently been announced, so it's a moving program. We've taken the steps to match that to in-house resources and then to also consider externally available resources and looking at using contractors, and also we have commissioned New South Wales Public Works Advisory to provide support in terms of project management and procurement. So we're reviewing the program now, and we're preparing a program for delivery.
So what you're saying here now, this $9 million we've done plus what we've planned for this year will all be completed by the end of the financial year?
The Acting Director.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. We are preparing a program to that effect, yes. The $9.2 million that's carried over, not all of that is work yet to be done. There's quite a bit of work in the 9.2 that's already complete. So we do carry forward funds for works that were in progress, and many of those have now been complete. And in fact, a number of them were complete at the end of the year, but were not paid for, so, or there were funds committed but not expedited, which means that the funds need to be carried forward.
Okay.
So something like Macquarie Avenue you've got in here it's already been completed. It just hasn't been paid for, so it's just a financial liability that's got to be paid for. Is that correct?
The Acting Director of Planning, Infrastructure.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. That's exactly correct. In the case of Macquarie Avenue, there were a number of roads and we bundled those together into one contract to obtain efficiency and a better rate for the work. So while those roadworks were complete, they weren't claimed. And when the claim did come in, we did challenge some of the items and so they hadn't been paid for by the end of the year.
Right, because Council done Macquarie Avenue, didn't they? Didn't Council workers do it?
The Acting Director.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. There was a combination there. We used some contractors and the same contractors we used on a number of other jobs.
Thank you.
So can I just ask then, what sort of percentage are we using contractors for this work then?
The Acting Director.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. It varies, but in the case of the program this year, there were a number of items of work that were very similar in nature, and they're the ones that we bundled together. So, for instance, there were three road projects that required in-situ stabilisation, so that was an efficient way to bundle that sort of work together. But I'm sorry, I don't have an overall percentage for the whole program.
Mm. Yeah, I thought it would be interesting to know, because I know our council has said many times we don't want to use contractors, we want to use staff, council-owned staff, but it seems like we have to use contractors to get some of the work done. Thank you.
Councillor Saville.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. A sort of question that's probably more of a statement. I'm just wondering whether the director, in when their consideration of bringing that report and looking at redoing all the works, will actually consider the sort of that we have been doing quite well in getting grants and new projects every year. We're increasing the amount of work, and I think that's looking to continue for hopefully the foreseeable future. We sometimes do look at contractors, but it may be something to consider if we can put on extra permanent work teams that may mean that we don't have to then re-vote and redo things each year, that we can actually pick up the work and get it done forward. So it's not really a question I need answered now, but more of a statement that if we're in the consideration, we can look at those options. Thank you.
Okay, no further debate. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? It's unanimous. CC95, funding for the purchase of replacement computer assets. Move Councillor Burke, second Councillor Lyons. Councillor Olsen.
Yeah, Mayor Pinson, are we borrowing this money? It's a loan, I believe, from internal reserves. Is that correct?
Okay. The Director.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Councillor Olsen, it is proposed that we utilise internal reserves rather than going out for an operating lease.
It's a loan that we have to pay back.
No. The Director.
The proposal is that we utilise internal reserves for the purchase of them and we pay back that internal reserve from the money that would have been paid to the leasing company.
So how long is it going to take us to pay this $400,000 back?
The Director.
From memory, the operating budget for the capital lease, the operating lease of that is approximately $90,000 a year. So 3.5-4 years and we'll get the return on that. We'll actually generate more income than we would by investing that $400,000. With the current very low rates of interest, we anticipate that the actual saving that we're going to generate internally will be in the vicinity of $8,000 a year. So it's a very, very prudent use of our resource and our money. We're keeping the profit in-house and we'll pay back that reserve as the budgets roll on.
Yeah, I understand it's going to be a saving long term, but the $400,000 might be making $8,000 a year. So are we going to pay that interest back as well?
The Director.
That we're not getting.
Thank you. That is the intention, Councillor Olsen. So we would be applying the rate that we would generate from an external loan, if you like, and we'd be applying that back to the reserve. So if we take $400,000 out, we'll be paying $400,000 plus a little bit of interest. So it'll be whatever we were going to pay the operating lease person over that period of the purchase period, we'll actually use that and pay back that loan. So you'll be paying back more than the $400,000 that we were using.
Thanks.
Thank you. And councillor should be remembered that there's always the opportunity when the agenda comes out now 1 week before the meeting to pose those questions to the directors prior to the meeting. Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Thank you, Mayor Pinsent. The director has highlighted the benefits of this report, so I don't need to ask him anything.
Councillor Burke.
Yeah, likewise, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. No further debate. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? It's unanimous. CC 98 Investment Report, September 2020. It's moved, Councillor Saville, second, Councillor Gray. Councillor Olson.
Yeah, Mayor Pinson, I haven't had time to make a phone call, so I got asked the questions tonight. We have an interest rate return there of $119,000. Where does that money go to? Does it go on to the funds that attracts the interest, or does it go into another fund?
Just before you answer, Director, can I point out to Councillor Olson and other councillors in the chamber, a council meeting is not the interrogation of directors. So if we can just control the questions, if we're not able to submit them beforehand by email, as I say, you have 1 week before the meeting. The Director.
Thank you, Mayor Pinsent. Councillor Olson, we budget every year for an expected return on our investments. Some of that is restricted in relation to developer contributions and the like. The remainder of it goes basically into our general revenue that allows us to fund any number of operations within the council budget. So the $119,000, a portion of that is already allocated within our operational budget for various projects across the budget.
So even if from restricted funds, that interest still goes into general revenue?
The Director.
Thank you, Mayor Pinsent. We have one bank account, Councillor Olson, so we record all the income in and out within that bank account. However, we have certain restrictions in our operating systems that allow us to identify those items that need restrictions around them. And when we set our budget, we know that there's certain items in there, such as developer contributions, where any income that's generated from that from investment portfolio needs to go back into that restricted asset at the year end. So we do account for it all, and it all does go into general revenue, but then parts of that actually get put out to against those restricted assets where it needs to be.
Thank you.
Can I ask you one more question then? On the page 143, security deposits and bonds, it's a new item being added onto the list, $5,605,000.
The Director.
Yes, it is a new item added on the list, Councillor Olson.
So where's the money come from? Where's that?
We just got one at a time. You finished it.
I don't know what his question was. Mayor President.
Where's that money come from?
The Director.
Oh, sorry. What makes it up? His question?
Where
sorry,
Councillor. $5.6 come from?
Yep. That the money that is there is a liability that Council has always recorded within its operating accounts. It covers a range of things, such as bonds and deposits from developers, which makes up the majority of that amount. So that's approximately $4.3 million. So that would be cash bonds that developers would lodge when they lodge various DAs. We have had a change in the current climate where some developers are actually requesting those cash bonds back and replacing them with bank guarantees, hence the need for us to reflect it in this format. We have found consistently over the years that the level of bonds and deposits we hold has been fairly static, and it doesn't really go up and down that much. As bonds get repaid back to the people that put them in, new ones come in, and it's a sort of standard level item in there. But with this change in the current climate, with the COVID impacts and the couple of large bank guarantees that were requested to replace the cash bonds, we thought it was prudent that we reflect it within our investment portfolio. Included in that also is approximately $900,000, which is in relation to our reservations for our cemeteries, both Lawn and the other ones. That is money where people have prepaid for their plots. We don't actually recognise that as income until such time as the plots are actually used, in which case we bring it out of restrictions and it goes into our operating result for the cemeteries in that year. So it is made up of about three or four things. There's a substantial amount of money in there for various security deposits, such as key deposits and the like, and that's another $400,000. So it's made up of multiple of items that, as I said, has over the years been fairly static as to the figure it is. For transparency, we're showing it in this format so that we can actually say we have cash back to reflect against that if those funds ever need to be repaid. But as I said, over the time, when funds have had to be repaid, they've been replaced by other ones where other deposits or bonds have come in.
It's never been shown on this report before, has it?
I think the director pointed that out. It's a new entry.
Just clarification, Mayor Pinson. It's never been shown on this report before, though.
Director?
This is the first time we've shown it in the monthly investment report. You are correct, Councillor Olson. However, we have always shown it within our financial statements. It has been in there forever and a day. We register as a liability. We put it in our balance sheet saying this is money that we potentially owe someone and we need to pay them back.
Yeah, that's all I wanted to know, what it was for. Thank you.
No further debate. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? It's unanimous. CC 99-2020 Resolutions Tracking Report. So you've got Councillor Burke and Councillor Dagger moving and seconding. Councillor Olson.
Yeah, Mayor Pinson. The report BN25 on page 158, the parking policy enforcement. I'm just wondering when we're getting that report back to Council. It says on here it's going to be the 31st of October. It should be finished.
Is it moving, Mike?
Will that be back in the November meeting?
We haven't got a mic there. Oh, we have? Yes. So we've got the Acting Director of Planning.
No? Yes, the intention initially was to get it back to this meeting, but the report is under review at the moment and it will be reported to the November meeting.
Yep, that'd be great, because I know we all got an email from or seen something from Clayton Bar recently saying how double parking is illegal, so don't do it. Our policy says double parking is illegal, don't do it, but we're not booking people for it, so it'd be good to get this sorted out ASAP.
Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Through you, Mayor Pinsent. I'm looking at page 157. It's BN21. It's the Frame Drive Bridge. I noted today that we had correspondence to Councillor Sander, actually, about this particular issue. I also note that they're going to put some signage around the bridge to say that there is an issue with the bridge. My concern is, and this is to through you, Mayor Pinsent, to the General Manager, it's very important that we get the correct information out there so that we don't give people an opportunity to blame us. Thank you.
Thank you. No further debate. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? It's unanimous. CC 101-2020 Minutes of the Strategic Property and Community Facilities Committee meeting of the 7th of October 2020. Move Councillor Sander, second Councillor Fitzgibbon. Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Look, I'd like to speak on this, particularly dot point one. The Cessnock Performing Arts Centre, with the adoption tonight of this recommendation from the Strategic Property and Community Facilities Committee, will bring the whole CPAC space closer to reaching its full potential. That is a cultural hub which aims to bring people together, local and visitor, by offering performance space, art gallery space, retail space, and program rooms for their enjoyment. As members of the committee, Councillor Pinsent, Dunn and myself have had the privilege of seeing the impressive plans. It will be a space our community deserves and will be proud of. As identified in the committee agenda, the refurbishment costs will be met by future grant opportunities developer contributions and the sale of the former Cessnock Art Gallery building and site. It is important that the Council provides a diverse range of activities to cater to our growing LGA and the many different interests of the people who make up our community and visit here. I'd like to finish by thanking the community members who had some input into the planning of this side of the building, and in particular I'd like to thank the council staff who were involved in getting this project this far, and I will certainly be supporting the motion.
Councillor Olson.
Or the recommendation.
Yeah, thanks, Mayor Pinson. I would have liked to have seen those plans too. Unfortunately, I haven't. Question. What's all this going to cost us? Where's the report?
Who's doing that, Rob? The Director?
Where?
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Councillor Olson, I don't have that information right in front of me. However, it has been supplied to all councillors with the agenda documentation associated with the Strategic Property and Community Facilities Committee. However, I can get that out to you tomorrow once I confirm the exact figure.
The problem we have here, we're approving an agenda from the strategic planning, and the public could be watching this tonight and saying, what's it going to cost, Council? How do they know? How do these people know it's not in the report? And it doesn't tell us in this report how we're going to fund it. It says we're progressing for funding. It doesn't tell us how we're going to fund it either. So are we going to have the money, or are we going to have to borrow money, or where are we getting the money from? It's all part of being open and transparent to the general public. We're not telling them anything here other than we're moving forward and it's going to be a great plan that a couple of councils have seen. I'm disappointed that we don't get that sort of information to go out to the general public, because there are general people out there that want to know what we're doing and where we're spending the money. And I can't tell them, because I haven't got the agenda on me anymore. I don't keep the agendas. I haven't got that much time to keep agendas and looking for the agendas when they were put out under the hub and everything. I just think that general public need to know that information. It's not in this report. There's nowhere in this agenda for tonight, and it's not giving a true reflection of what this council's doing.
Councillor Olson, can I just make it clear that it's not, the plan was not to a couple of councillors. The plan was displayed at a committee meeting to all the members of the council, all the members of the committee, and I would have thought that, as per every committee meeting, every councillor receives all those documents. Councillor Doherty.
Thanks, Mayor Pinson. All agenda documents remain on the council website for years, and I've, every now and then I go back and read previous agendas, Councillor Mayor Pinson. But I'd like to make a comment on the Performing Arts Centre, or the Cultural Hub, as we're going to call it. It is long overdue. It was a complete mismatch of occupation within that building for years, which was clearly recognised when I first came onto this council. Why in the hell would we have an old waterboard building down the road as a art gallery when we got a good space within our Performing Arts Centre for a good art gallery? And I commend the work that's being done to get this particular project up and running, and so that hopefully we can sell the art gallery to somebody else who might want to commercialise it and use that money for the work that needs to be carried out inside the Performing Arts Centre.
Thank you. Councillor Dagg.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I'd just like to endorse the comments made by Councillors Doherty and Fitzgibbon. This project is actually really exciting for our LGA, and it's great to see that the plans have finally come together, which we've all had the opportunity to access. They have been provided to all councillors. And we are all busy people, but part of our job is making sure that we're across the detail, across our brief, and voting accordingly. We need to do our homework. And as I just wanted to point out, as Councillor Fitzgibbon has already highlighted, I think the cost was around $2 million, and it will be met by future grant opportunities, developer contributions, and also the sale of the former Cessnock Art Gallery building. Thank you.
Councillor Savell.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Just have a question for the General Manager, and I don't know whether it's something that can be considered for future meetings, but with committee meetings that there are agendas and documents and things that come up, and I note that they are provided to all councillors and they are available on the hub, but I'm not sure whether it's something we could consider making them an attachment to the meeting. There's only a couple, like basically one committee that usually comes back every meeting, and it could be a separate attachment of those things, so they're in the report for the community to see.
General Manager, do you want to comment on that?
I'm happy to take that on board. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Olsen, you've spoken.
A question of you, Mayor Pinson. Can you tell me what this is going to cost? You were at the meeting.
Sorry?
You were at the meeting. I just want to know what it cost.
Yeah, the approximate cost is about overall $2 million.
Overall. Okay. I'll still wait for that MMO from the director, please.
No further debate. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Councillors Doherty, Dunn, Saville, Stapleford, Gray, Burke, Lyons, Sander, Fitzgibbon and Dagg. Those against? Councillor Olsen. WI 75, Cessnock Pool Splash Pad. Moving that way, Councillor Dagg and Sander. Councillor Olsen.
Yeah, Mayor Pinsent. We have a motion here to, if we don't get the grant, to use $420,000 from developer contributions. Now, when you read the report, the report says we're going to borrow the money. Are we going to pay that back as well?
The manager of Rec Services, I'm assuming? No, it's the director.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the intention is to borrow money within the plan. Oh, sorry, to borrow money from repeal plans which haven't had their money allocated, reallocated, and then repaying that money back to those plans. So the money will be repaid.
Thank you.
All right, so it doesn't say that in the motion. It just says council approves the use of up to $420,000. So it should say and repay it. And how do we repay it?
Yep, the acting director.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the repayment is a legislative principle that when you borrow money within a plan, you need to pay it back, and it will be paid back from monies collected within the local infrastructure contribution plan. So we're collecting for it. So as we collect money, we will pay the plan back.
So it could be any period of time before we get that paid back. But the motion doesn't say it's going to be borrowed, so that motion should actually say we're going to borrow the money, not approve the use of up to $420,000 of development contributions as an alternative funding source to be repaid back.
I think the director explained that it's
not in the motion.
I'm speaking.
Okay.
The acting director explained that it's a legislative instruction that it be repaid.
Doesn't say that in the motion, Mayor Pinson.
Sorry?
Doesn't say that in the motion.
This is how this organisation operates, on the legislation that controls local government.
It doesn't say that in the motion, Mayor Pinson.
If you want to put in the motion, you ask or you move an amendment or ask the mover and seconder.
I'll ask the mover and seconder to accept it.
No.
No? No, why would you?
We don't need those sort of comments, Councillor Olsen.
No.
Sorry? Well, can you refrain from those smart comments? Thank you. Councillor Dagg?
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. And it's really disappointing to, have that sort of conduct in the meeting. It is addressed in the report, page 199. But I just wanted to speak to the recommendation and just commend the staff who have done an enormous amount of work on this project, which has been really championed by Councillor Fitzgibbon. Out at Brankston Pool, we have a similar sort of project, very much on a smaller scale, but I see, you know, the children that are always there utilising that facility, and this project, once it's up and running, and, you know, in not that far away, you know, this will be a real project that the people of this LGA can enjoy, and, you know, it'll be great to see the little kiddies, you know, in there splashing about and making the most of this wonderful facility.
Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Through you, Mayor Pinsent, and not only will it offer some nice water play for younger children, it also offers an opportunity for people who have children who have disabilities to enjoy the water play. Thank you.
No further debate. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Councillors Doherty, Dunn, Savelle, Stapleford, Gray, Burke, Lyons, Sander, Fitzgibbon and Dagg. Those against? Councillor Olson. WI 76 2020, Aquatic Facility Family Fun Days and COVID-19 Safety Plans. Councillor Savelle.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Can I move an alternate recommendation?
Sure. So you're moving that way, and Councillor Gray seconding it. Do you want to, you're speaking to it?
Yeah, just briefly. I think it's important that this is a really good initiative that I think was also came from Councillor Fitzgibbon a number of years ago, that's been really well supported by the community, and I think we should continue it. I think it's something that the COVID safe plans that have been put in place have said we can continue it in Cessnock and in Brankston, and so I think we should be doing it in them as well as at Curry. There's a couple of things that I think we need to make sure we monitor, as the health advice is ever changing, and the numbers of people allowed in different areas and things could move. So I think it's important that as the season goes on, we do monitor those COVID safe plans to make sure our numbers of how many people we're allowing into the pool either decrease if necessary, or hopefully the things go well and they actually we can increase those numbers of people allowed in, because it would be good to be able to allow more people to use this facility if we can, while still maintaining a safe environment. And the other thing is asking that the General Manager consider looking at a booking system. I know we had one for the dump, and I think there are some benefits of that in regards to people knowing whether they're going to be able to get in, and quite easily managing, so we don't have hundreds of people turning up on the doors. There are some negative impacts, though, from that need to be considered, around the idea as if people, what happens if people book and then don't show up, and we end up only having half the available people in the pool that we could have otherwise had. So I think there's a number of things that do need to be considered as part of that, which is why I don't think we can make a decision on the booking system tonight, but it's sort of asking the General Manager to have a consideration, and hopefully it's possible to come back to us in a month's time and see what we think is feasible and what would work, which would allow us to make a decision on that before the fun days are approached. And I think obviously like an online system would be ideal as well, but they're just, it's a suggestion, and we'll hear back some thoughts. So I'm really pleased to support these family fun days again for another year, in sort of different circumstances to what they have been before, but hopefully equally as beneficial and utilised by the community. Thank you.
Councillor Olson.
Yeah, Mayor Pinsent, with our COVID-19 safety plans in place, do we close the pool halfway through the day for cleaning?
The manager I think it's on.
Oh, thank you. Through you, Mayor Pinson.
Manager of Rec Services.
Thanks, Mayor Pinson. The pools are currently closed midway through the day. We're having two sessions for recreation swimming, so we close in the middle of the day for around 45 minutes to do a thorough clean of the facility. But in between that, during session one and session two, there are still cleaning of high-touch areas conducted by staff.
So all pool users have to leave the pool and leave the pool centre. Do they have to pay to re-enter?
The manager, open space and recreation services.
Through Mayor Pinson, yes, if you leave after session one, you are required to pay to come in again to session two, and that has been communicated clearly to all of our customers. We do blasts on our website to let people know. It's advertised at the pools as well, and there's announcements made throughout the day.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's a little bit unfair that I know we've got COVID-19 problems and we have to have a safety plan, but I think it's unfair that you have to be charged twice to go into a pool if you didn't want to leave. I think it's a little bit unfair on the residents and an impost on them. I think it should be a day pass once you get in there. If you leave on your own accord, that's different, but if you go to have to leave because of cleaning, I think it's a double cost for our residents to get in there. And then we have the family fun days on the Sundays, where we're going to make it free, but we still have to shut the pool for 45 minutes during the day. So there's no cost for anyone there, but during the week or on a Saturday, if the kids want to go to the pool and mum and dad want to drop them off at 10 o'clock and they've got to come back and pick them up whatever closing time it is, lunchtime, then they bring them back after lunch as the day gets hotter, it's going to cost them again. So I just don't think that's fair. I think it should be a... Once, if they're asked to leave, they get a pass to get back in. And I think that should be part of this as well. If we're going to be supporting family fun days, I think we should be supporting all residents using our pools. And I like to encourage people to use the pools and learn to swim and get out there and enjoy themselves. I think we should be giving them passes out to get back in or some sort of way, because normally we wouldn't be getting two charges out of them. They would only pay one, and once they did leave, they'd be leaving on their own accord and they didn't want to come back. So I think there should be some way we should be looking at a .5 on there of how we can manage the second cost of entry into the pool as well. If we're going to have family fun days, free days, why can't we be doing the same during the week and on Saturdays so that we're not putting in a second cost on people to be in the pool? So if our mover and seconder can... except the fifth dot point that we allow passes out for when they're cleaning the pool or something in the wording of that line, I'd be very appreciative of that.
Yeah. I believe that's a separate issue. We'll take the General Manager.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. It is a separate issue. But part of why that is the case is that because we've got limited numbers now that can attend, we want to make sure that as many people as possible can attend, so we spread it out so that not the same people attend both the morning and the afternoon. That's also part of why it is two sessions, so we make sure that more people have an opportunity than less people.
I appreciate that. I understand what you're trying to do there, and I do generally understand that. I just think that if... I don't know how many people's allowed in the pool. Is it 50 or 60 of people, something like that figure? If you've only got 40 people there in the afternoon, surely these people can come back. You know, you don't know how many people are going to come in because no one's booking at this point in time. You don't know how many are going to turn up. You might not have anyone come. But, you know, I just think it's just a bit of an impost on the residents to have to pay twice to go. And if we can utilise some system, it would be much better. But I'll put a notice of motion up for the next meeting. That's fine.
Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Through you, Mayor Pinson, I take on board what Councillor Olsen is saying. I know that there's a community page where it was mentioned someone had their children at the pool and they weren't able to stay all day because of the cleaning, and then they wanted to go back in the afternoon and had to pay. Look, I drive past that pool every day more than once. Generally through the week, children are at school, and it may only be a few Saturdays and Sundays, and I can pretty much assure you there would be... the numbers would be far less than what is necessary. So the few people who need to come in and out or who want to come spend all day at the pool, not so much a pass out because they could hand that on to somebody, but there must be some way we can have a look at that so that they're not charged twice. The other thing I'll quickly mention is also the Family Fun Day attendance record for 2019-20 for the whole season, or the 10 days, there were 2,788 people, which was 278 people per day at the Cessnock Pool. Now, unless they all turned up there at 10 o'clock in the morning, if they were spread across the day, that's 46 people per hour, which is well under the numbers. Now, I understand that that's not how it works because generally they all come around, you know, that middle of the day period. But I support Councillor Savell's alternate recommendation. But the two issues that we will face, and I'd like to highlight these, and that is the queuing on Allendale Road, which has been recognised in the report, that would be a safety issue. The other issue also is when mum says to the children, jump in a car, we'll go down for a swim at the pool. On a hot day, anyone who has piled their kids in the car on a hot day and they get down there and they can't get in because the numbers are too high, that's going to create a lot of unhappy people in the community. So if council could somehow look at a way that they could maybe have a booking system or something. I know my daughter books in down in Melbourne, so it does happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Dagg.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Look, I just wanted to throw my support behind the Family Fun Days. We've spoken about this previously, you know, prior to previous swimming seasons, and it's a wonderful thing that we can provide for our community. And I just want to thank Councillor Savell for his amended recommendation, which I think was an improvement on the original. It's really important that all people across our LGA have access to this, and that the people of Brankston and Cessnock and the surrounds are able to take advantage of these free Family Fun Days. In relation to the actual COVID requirements, I mean, I was at Brankston Pool on Tuesday afternoon, and I saw the staff there, you know, going around and cleaning as they were going on. In terms of, you know, shutting, I understand that that may be inconvenient to people, but this is a movable feast and council has to continually react to the public health orders that are provided by the minister, and adjust our procedures accordingly. And that's just not in relation to the pool, that's in relation to all the different facilities and services that we look after and provide for the community. But I do want to thank the staff for doing what they can to ensure that the pools stay open and that people can attend and take advantage of the free Family Fun Day. I did a, you know, in a safe way, obviously, as well, because I did a comparison of neighbouring councils and some further afield to see what they were doing with their pools, and some of them aren't allowing recreational swimming at all. It's just lap swimmers. So the fact that we've been able to come up with a plan to ensure that everyone can enjoy, you know, our swimming facilities, whether they're lap swimming or just want to go and have a paddle, I think it's a credit to the staff. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Savell.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Just in sort of closing, I'd just like to make comment on the idea of the pass out system. I would hope that it's something that can be considered by the general manager or relevant officer in the lead up to the next meeting, because it will be an ongoing thing, and we probably don't need to wait for a month on that one. But the other thing that I'm hoping can be considered as part of the regular monitoring of the COVID safety plans is I note that we, on the Family Fun Days only, we're reducing the number of people that are able to attend the pool because of other issues that may arise from those family fund days in the past. I do note that we are looking at employing security for those things and monitoring that as well. So my hope would be that if all goes well on the first sort of couple of those things, we could look at reviewing them, because on the Saturday you're allowed 75 people into the pool, but the Sunday it would be dropped back to the 60. And so if the community's behaviour is to a standard that allows us to do that and things go well as part of the regular review, I think that would be something we could look at as well. But thank you.
Thank you. No further debate. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? It's unanimous. WI 77-2020, Cessnock CBD, space shade over bench seats. Someone moving in. Move Councillor Burke, second Councillor Sander. No debate. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? It's unanimous. WI 79, closure of laneway. Move Councillor Saval, second Councillor Gray. Councillor Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to add two dot points if I can. And they're on the screen. The General Manager writes to Housing New South Wales to make them aware of the antisocial behaviour taking place on their land, and that the General Manager writes to the Member of Cessnock, Clayton Barr MP, seeking his support in taking this matter to the Minister for Water, Property and Housing, Melinda Pavey MP. Right, if the... Melinda.
Yeah. So the mover and second are comfortable with those additional dot points? Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. During debate last meeting, when this original notice of motion was tabled, I too had residents at that time raising concerns with me about a similar issue within Cessnock, and I forwarded these concerns promptly to the General Manager, and this has now been looked into by Council officers. Council Olsen's original motion should have gone straight to the General Manager, just like I have, so we could ensure that community safety matters are looked at urgently rather than being debated here in the chamber. Housing New South Wales need to be made aware of these issues. It's in the report that it's their land, so we can't just close it. So writing to them will make them aware of what's happening on their land. And I do thank the council officers who have raised their concerns with Cessnock Police. It is a pity that it has taken so long, because it come as a notice of motion rather than a swift email through to the General Manager. I also note that the process of closing a road or a laneway is quite a difficult one, and it's quite a lengthy process. Now that this has been put forward, hopefully going forward, we won't have these types of motions, and they land on the General Manager's desk quite quickly.
Thank you. Councillor Olsen.
Yeah, Mayor Pinsent, I could have sent it to the General Manager, but that's not the process we have in place. We can't ask the General Manager to go and close a lane without approval of Council. So there is a process, and I ask for that. We have a plan to closing this laneway to all pedestrians. That plan's not here. I know we don't own the lane, but we can still follow the plan and get the residents' support to have the laneway closed and talk to the owners of the land to get it closed. I'm sure there'll be enough support in that area for that lane to be closed. You're not going to get police patrolling up there at midnight just because of one lane when they've got so many other issues to deal with. I asked for a report on how to close it. I asked for it to come back with a plan to closing the laneway, and that was all about getting started to close the laneway. I'm sure the other lanes that Councillor Burke has brought in has not started that process yet. So I haven't slowed the process down. The problem is we're having a monthly meeting slowing the process down and not coming in here every fortnight and talking about these issues and getting them sorted. So if we had a fortnightly meeting, this would be further down the track. We would have a plan in place and start that plan tonight to get that lane closed. That closure hasn't come to us. The plan hasn't come to us tonight. It's just a report saying who owns the land and so forth, and it's a Housing New South Wales property. We can still get it closed. We can still close it if we get the process in place, and that's why I won't be supporting this motion tonight. We haven't come back with what was asked of council, and that should be made quite clear. The resolution one of the business notice written on B28, moved by myself and supported by Councillor Dunn and supported by all this council, was the general manager bring a report back to council on the process of closing laneway and with a plan to closing this laneway to all pedestrians. There is no plan here. When are we getting that plan?
Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Pinson, when are we getting the plan?
So you're asking the question?
I'm asking the question. When are we going to get that plan?
To the general manager?
Yep.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The report clearly states that because it is not our land, we can't have a plan to close something that's not ours, because it's not our role to close that land.
We can have, so there's a process of closing
the
claims.
Can we wait till the general manager is finished?
Of course, you have finished, Mayor Pinson.
Well, I've got the call on who speaks.
Okay, sorry, Mayor Pinson.
I have no further comments.
Okay,
sorry.
Right, well, Mayor Pinson, we can put a plan in place, and that is first of all, you contact Housing New South Wales and say, do they have any concerns with closing that lane? I'm sure they will have no complaints about closing that lane. They would be quite happy to close it if the residents in that area want it closed, and that's what we should be doing. We should be starting the process now. Otherwise, the long and drawn-out process is going to get further long and drawn-out, because we're not doing any. We're just sitting on our hands doing nothing with it. And the residents have asked for it. The other laneways haven't been touched yet. They're still open. They're going to go through this long and drawn-out process. I don't know what we're supposed to do at this council, but I'll put the motion up there. I want that plan, and that is in the motion, and there was no plan brought back to us.
Councillor Sabal.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. The report, in my reading of it, says that closing laneways is done under the provisions of the Road Act 1993. It then goes on to state that the strip of land that Councillor Olson has asked about does not provide vehicular access, is not a public, Crown or private road, as such, it is not subject to the provisions of the Road Act. So, therefore, how do we close it if it's not part of the thing? How is there a plan for council to do it? It's not part of the report. Actually, clearly says it says in thing part 4, section 30 of the Act outlines the conditions under which council may formally close a road as follows, and it lists the things. It actually gives us the plan of how we go about closing a road, but it says this section that's been asked for is not a public road, and therefore it cannot be closed under this Act. So it would be the equivalent of asking, in my mind, the equivalent of saying, Councillor Olson, I want to close the strip of land between the footpath and your front door. It's owned by you. It's not owned by council. We can't just close off your land. It's Housing New South Wales's land. If they want to look at closing it and fixing it up and doing something and giving the land to the neighbouring residents or doing whatever they want to do, then that's up for Housing New South Wales, and you are within your rights as an individual to go to Housing New South Wales and make the representations to them, or go to the state member and ask them to make representations to Housing New South Wales, just as Councillor Burke has added on to these things. We've said we want to make them aware of this thing and allow them to look at closing their land, but it is their land and it's up for them to do their own plan. It's not up to council to go and manage a process of closing land that is not owned or governed or anything by council. It is Housing New South Wales land, and that's clearly stated in the report, which you should have looked at and not then be putting up these motions and tried amending tonight. So I would ask people to actually support the resolution as it is put forward, because I don't think we need to waste any more of council's time on dealing with a matter that we actually have no impact on. It should be dealt with by Housing New South Wales.
Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Through you, Mayor Pinsent. Look, this is a fairly familiar issue where things come to councillors or council that are not council matters. I think generally people just think anything that's broken or there's a problem with anything, it's council's issue. Well, unfortunately, that's not the case, and this is the perfect example. And I do remember, Councillor Olsen might like to go back through his emails, I do remember seeing an email response forwarded through. I can't remember what the date was. I probably did print it off, though. And it does go into detail about the types of lanes and the procedure as to how you manage closing them and the process, actually, of closing them. Thank you.
No further debate. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Councillors Doherty, Dunn, Savell, Stapleford, Gray, Burke, Lyon, Sander, Fitzgibbon and Dagg. Those against? Councillor Olsen? WI 80, 2020, minutes of the Cessnock Local Traffic Committee, 21st of September 2020. Move Councillor Gray, second Councillor Dagg. No debate. I'll put that. All those in favour? It's unanimous. BN 30, 2020, fact sheet for a dangerous dog declaration. Councillor Savell.
Thank you.
We had someone seconding there, Councillor Burke.
Just speaking in briefly, in regards to the creation of a fact sheet, it sort of came up following representations I'd made on behalf of a local resident, and I realised during that process that the declaration of a dangerous dog is quite a there's legislation around it that outlines the way it should happen, but it can become quite like an emotional thing and quite heated at the time with residents that aren't aware of the process and can create issues for both them and for our staff as well. So I think the idea of having a fact sheet is something that when the issue is made and allows people to go away and think about things separately, so they know their rights and what they're able to do, but also what the process that council is required under the legislation to follow as well. And I think making these things clear might assist both residents and our ranger staff in the future. So I'll put that.
Councillor, can you just pull your microphone a little bit closer when you're speaking? Thank you. Right, no further debate. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? It's unanimous. BN 31 2020, gas-fired power station. Councillor Doherty.
I'd like to move that way, Councillor.
Your seconder, Councillor Dunn. Speaking to it, Councillor.
Look, it's pretty much self-explanatory in so much as the Prime Minister has been in our area recently on a photographic exhibition to announce a gas-fired power station. And I have my own personal reservations, but I believe we should support this type of development within our area because the hydro site, as it stands, is being decommissioned completely, but the switchyard is still there and the power transmission lines are still there, so all the electrical infrastructure is there in place. And if we are to go down the path of putting some gas-fired generation into New South Wales, then I believe that the hydro site, as it stands, would be an ideal place to put it. And so I'd like the council to support this. And if I'd like, I'll steal Councillor Gray's thunder. I heard that I've missed our federal MP for the seat of Paterson, Merrill Swanson.
Okay, so we're adding that. The seconder is comfortable with that.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that.
Thank you, Councillor Gray.
Thank you, Mayor Vincent. And yes, you have stolen my thunder. But I'd like to support writing to all these members and especially involving the member for Paterson, Merrill Swanson. As we know that with the Hydro site being redeveloped, we're in a really good position to welcome these type of developments within the LGA. What it would mean to Currie is really building on the electricity network that is already in place and the infrastructure there. I'm pretty agnostic about the type of developments, whether it's gas or whether it's solar, but the development of Currie as a renewable centre of energy generation just makes sense to its location in the Hunter. The economic value it would be to the town replacing such a big facility such as Hydro Aluminium and the jobs that would be created directly within Currie is really a great opportunity for it. I do find it a bit bizarre that a government that is all for free marketeers and that type of thing got this project up by threatening to build it using a government commercial utility company. It sort of goes against the free trade model of we just spent 30 years as all sorts of governments on both sides selling off all our power supplies and our power generators, and now all of a sudden the federal government's threatening to go back in and do it. However, as the representative in this council, the representative council, if it's going to be built and it's going to be a gas-fired power station, I welcome it and I support the motion. Thank you.
Councillor Olson.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Pinson. I think anything like this is a great idea, especially for Currie. I think we need power. We're going to run out of power when we stop using coal. So we're going to need something to turn the lights on and use our phones and TVs. If we don't have this up and running, we could be in real dire straits. Not everybody has solar power on their house, so I can't really see solar power solving our problems. I just find it strange that I thought the policy of the Labor Party was no gas or no coal. And the Labor Party is going to support it tonight, but that's up to them. It's an individual thing on how you vote on this. It's not a party lines, I'm sure. So I think for employment opportunity in Currie and the local district, I think for ensuring power supply for the Hunter Valley, this is something that has to go ahead so long as we get cheap gas, not give a cheap gas to the overseas companies.
Councillor Saville.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Just like to clarify that the Labor Party is quite strongly supportive of the coal and coal jobs in our region and also for gas projects. It's not anti-Labor policy to support either of those, and as such, it's about supporting jobs, and that's what the Labor Party does, is support jobs, and which is why I will be supporting this tonight. The one it's about making sure that things are in the right areas, and I've noticed that later on in the meeting we'll be actually looking at asking the minister to take away, revoke a coal licence around Wollumbi and so in that heritage area. So it's something that it's not anti-coal and it's not anti-thing. It's having the right development and creating jobs in the right area, sustainable jobs. So that's what we need to do, and that's what I'm putting as council.
Thank you. Your question, Councillor Olson?
Yeah, I just want to ask Councillor Saville if the Labor Party does support the coal industry, why are they shutting coal-fired power or supporting the closure of coal?
Councillor Olson, that question is completely out of order.
Why is that, Mayor Pitt?
Because I've ruled that way.
Why, right.
We're not getting involved in a political... Councillor, you are out of order. It's got nothing to do with that, Councillor. Nothing to do with it at all. Even the mover of the motion objects to the political side of it. Right, I'm going to put the motion. All those in favour? Councillor, it's unanimous. Thank you. Move to CO 14 2020, Wollumbi Coal mining proposal from the Mayoral Minute, M70. Yeah, Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. And I'd just like to move a second and a third dot point here that the General Manager reply to correspondence from the Deputy Premier. Firstly, thanking him for his prompt correspondence and noting that the Department of Regional New South Wales both hold and are in the process of relinquishing mining exploration licences, and that it is the preferred option for Cessnock City Council that licence AUTH-263 be proposed for and ultimately relinquished, and that the General Manager write to the Member for Cessnock and the Parliamentary Secretary for the Hunter seeking their support on the matter.
Okay, so we've got seconder.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Pinson. Just to speak on this, when this came to light in the media, it did cause quite a lot of animosity and angst within the community of Wollombi, and further from the last motion, I think, you know, ultimately it's not every role to create jobs, but sometimes we need to preserve history, and I think our council needs to be very clear on our position on this, and we all support the community of Wollombi, and it's not a place where mining should really exist. And frankly, if we get into the position where we can lobby to have that mining licence ultimately relinquished, I think that's the personal view of myself, and I hope the rest of the council agree with that.
Councillor Stapleford.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I think a history lesson on this lease would be a good place for people to start reading. 1910, they started drilling for coal in that lease. They had Maitland Main, Millfield South. When Millfield South started running out of coal, they started a small lease up Millfield North, which was unviable. They then put core samples from Millfield to Wollombi. From 1910 onwards, there's every couple of years there's been a drill machine up until 1986, when the government took the lease back off the private owners. They've tried to sell it. It's not viable, and I think that someone in the government should have a look at the history and the plans that were there in front of them on their own website about how unviable that site is.
Yep. Thank you. No further debate. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? It's unanimous. Thank you. Councillor reports? No reports. I'll close that meeting, and someone moving that we go into confidential. Move Councillor Burke. Second Councillor Dagg. I'll put that. All those in favour? It's unanimous. General Manager, hang on, we just need... Okay. General Manager.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Council resolved that Council approves the sale of the following properties classified as operational land: 26 Tulloch Street, East Brankston; 27 Aberdare Street, Kitchener; 29 Aberdare Street, Kitchener; 29 Cessnock Street, Kitchener; 31 Aberdare Street, Kitchener; 16A Stephen Street, Cessnock. 2, that Council authorises the General Manager to be delegated to negotiate each sale in accordance with not less than 90% of the independent valuation advice and execute documentation required to effect the transaction if the General Manager deems the sale is beneficial and at a timing deemed most beneficial to Council. 3, that the proceeds of sale be allocated in accordance with the adopted property investment and development policy. Further, Council resolved in relation to South Cessnock Flood Mitigation Scheme update, Council resolved that Council reallocates $100,000 from the 2020-21 drainage construction program to fund completion of the detailed design and property acquisition to facilitate the South Cessnock Flood Mitigation Scheme. 2, that Council accepts the discretionary offer made by Subsidence Advisory New South Wales towards the South Cessnock Flood Mitigation Scheme, as discussed in this report. 3, that the General Manager prepares for a further application under the 2020-21 New South Wales Flood Management Plan Program for funding towards the South Cessnock Flood Mitigation Scheme. Thank you.
Councillor, both the motions have been...
I just believe there's a typo in the recommendation that's been put forward. It lists the 1, 2, 3, the fifth property at 31 Aberdare Street. It's actually 31 Cessnock Street in the report.
Not the information we have in front of us.
I'm looking at the report. In the recommendation it does, but not actually in the report or the documentation. Previous report, page 6.
Fine, Councillor, but what we're determining is the recommendation, and that's what was moved.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how we fix that, because it's an error in the recommendation. It should actually be, in my mind, 31 Cessnock Street, Kitchener, and I'm happy to show the director or the general manager in the report.
Could we just hang on for a moment?
Yeah.
Okay. So we have to recommit it?
You'll have to recommit that item and just...
Okay, fine. So I'll get someone to move that we move back into the confidential session. Move Councillor Dagg, second Councillor Burke. I'll put that, all those in favour. It's unanimous. So with the recommittal of report CC100, the General Manager will report back to in open council. General Manager?
So council resolved that council approves the sale of the following properties classified as operational land: 26 Tullock Street, East Brankston; 27 Aberdare Street, Kitchener; 29 Aberdare Street, Kitchener; 31 Cessnock Street, Kitchener; 16A Stephen Street, Cessnock. 2, that council authorises the general manager to be delegated to negotiate each sale in accordance with the not less than 90% of the independent valuation advice, and execute documentation required to effect the transaction if the general manager deems the sale is beneficial and at the timing deemed most beneficial to council. 3, that the proceeds of sale be allocated in accordance with adopted property investment and development policy. Thank you.
So, General Manager, you need to include 29 Cessnock Street, Kitchener, in your report.
Okay, so I didn't. So, okay, 29 Cessnock Street, Kitchener, as well.
Thank you. At that point, I close the meeting. Thank you. We had to do to recommit.